The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. On today's show, we're going to listen to some audio clips from head coach Joe Judge, quarterback Daniel Jones, and running back Saquon Barkley. We've had the opportunity in recent days to hear from that trio via video conference, courtesy of the Giants PR department. And we've had several stories at Big Blue View on each of those things. A couple stories on what Judge said, story detailing what Saquon Barkley had to say about Christian McCaffrey's big contract extension, story about Daniel Jones talking about Eli Manning's presence on the roster last year and how at times it was a little bit awkward between him and Eli, although both were professional and I think both enjoyed each other's company. It was interesting admission from Jones that there was some awkwardness between the two as Jones took over for the Giants at quarterback. So what we'll do is we will play audio from each of those three. First up, let's hear from head coach Joe Judge.
You've talked a lot about trying to establish a culture with the Giants now that you come in. I guess how much difficulty are you having really getting to do that with the environment that you guys are currently coaching in via Zoom and all that? And what ways are you trying to build camaraderie?
I think a lot of things we're trying to build within the culture right now are showing up based in the circumstances that we have allotted to us and how hard the players are working. And that's really what we're looking to build is that, you know, culture of everyone doing whatever it takes to be successful. And right now we're seeing that across the board with our players. I'm very pleased in how they come every day prepared. I'm pleased in how they come every day with a lot of urgency. And we're getting great feedback and communication through the meetings with the players themselves. You know, as far as building camaraderie with them, you know, probably the best part of the day is when you can click on the Zoom and everyone has their, you know, screens unmuted and you just hear the guys talking across. And that's probably the best part is, you know, it took about a week for them to get comfortable enough to do that. And, you know, I think they kind of realize that, you know, as coaches, we are laughing, you know, listening to them talk, and then they got a little bit more comfortable and really started breaking it down. But it's fun seeing all the personalities really emerge and the connections. Today was the first day we had the rookies in the meetings with the vets. So you could tell right away, you know, a couple guys saw some new faces and you heard a couple, oh, there's rookies in here today. So I'm sure, you know, they'll be asking them for a joke by tomorrow.
Joe, what's going to happen after this week is over? Do you have a plan, I guess, for the next phase? And have there been any discussions? I saw a report about teams discussing moving training camps out of areas where there might be stay-at-home restrictions for them.
All right, so the first part, I mean, we definitely have a plan. We're assuming right now that we're going to continue working virtually with the players. We'll wait for further clarity from the league. You know, we were told to plan through May 18th, so that's what we're doing right now. In terms of relocating, our ops department's doing a great job right now mapping out a lot of different scenarios in terms of if for some reason we have to relocate. They're, you know, making connections around, you know, the area, around the country, as to whatever we may need to do. I mean, we're waiting on direction from the league in terms of what we make decisions on that. Hopefully, in a perfect world, we're all back together in New Jersey training sooner than later. But we're planning for a lot of hypotheticals to make sure if they come up, we're not caught by surprise.
What are some of the options that you've considered in terms of moving training camp? And would you do that in the spring too?
I don't know that we're going to necessarily have an option to do in the spring unless the league would give us a thumbs up on that. I think right now, just with the climate in the country, one thing we have to consider is, you know, first off, the safety of our players traveling across the country, getting on flights, traveling through cars. There's a lot of mandated quarantines that come with that as well. So the timeliness factor of getting players, having them travel, the amount of time they're quarantined, getting them in the building, can we secure that they're going to be quarantined along with all the staff and coaches that are surrounding them, whether that's in our facility or somewhere else. There's a lot of logistical things we have to consider. The first thing we talk about in all these conversations is, are we 100% certain the players are going to remain healthy and we're not putting anybody at risk? I'd have a tough time right now asking a player to fly across the country from California when I probably wouldn't be the first one most willing to throw my two sons on the plane to go the other way.
Hey, you mentioned earlier on another day that, you know, it's imperative for these players to start forming bonds, and some of that has to do in themselves. How about you with the players? I mean, a head coach has to bond with the players. Is that more difficult now? And is there anything that you can share? Anything you know more about certain of your players, you know, a good example of one or two of those that you didn't know just from, you know, the laptop and remote and things like that, something that you know now that you did not know?
Well, I'll tell you what, we found different ways throughout the meeting times to work together, and I've found time to grab certain players out of meetings, and I'm working my way through the team as we go throughout the rest of the spring and making sure I get FaceTime with each one of these guys. You know, leading up to this, I spent some time talking to these guys on the phone, really just checking on them and their family. I had the opportunity to meet a lot of these guys in person when we were still in the building. They were still around working out. You know, I'd say one of the interesting things about this whole process is, just like we're doing right now, is as somebody else is speaking, really everybody has the freedom to look around right now and really observe how people are. So when there's an assistant coach presenting, everybody in there is also presenting themselves and how they conduct themselves in a meeting. You know, you're looking around. How's the guy set up in his house? Is it a quiet setting? How's he dressed? What's his eye focus like? Are his eyes down? Is he trying to text? And we haven't had a lot of that. We've had a lot of guys with great urgency. But, you know, you have the opportunity in this setting here to really see your players in a meeting standpoint where they really can't hide. Right now we're on a one-by-one box on this screen, but we're all face-to-face. And you don't know who's looking at who at this time. So everything you're doing at all times is really, you know, what you're being evaluated on.
Are you taking notes on some of that as you're going through? I mean, you're sitting there wearing a hooded sweatshirt, right? So I'm sure you don't expect your players to be wearing, you know, button downs for this, right? But I mean, so how does that evaluation work? I mean, you know, just how much is too much?
You know, everybody's always making an impression. I can't sign on with the team and stumble through a team talk and show shoddy film and have, you know, technology doesn't work and have them think, okay, this guy's going to be okay. He knows what he's doing. We're always creating an impression. We're always, you know, forming an opinion of ourselves. But along that, let's not get confused. We're not going to evaluate a football team based purely on how they are on a computer. I mean, we can go down to Circuit City and find a great football team in a computer. But, you know, we want to make sure right now that, look, we're just trying to give the players an opportunity to learn our material, to learn our systems, to get a head start going to training camp. We're trying to be as much of resources for these guys as we possibly can. You know, we only get 2 hours a day with the vets. But we get 2 hours a day with the vets. We got to use those 2 hours as much as we can. And, you know, along the way, we've used everything the leagues allow us to use in terms of loading up playbooks and cut-ups and voiced-over installs for the players to watch at their own pace, on their own. So we're trying to get ahead of everything that they may need. Look, until we get on the grass, you really can't evaluate a football player. You just can't do it. And I've made it clear to our team, you know, this spring is about learning. This spring is about building a base so when we get there in training camp, we can play fast and we can play aggressive. You'll be evaluated in training camp. Right now, we're learning. Now, along the way, you are making an impression.
And then another defensive question. Marcus Golden, you guys used that tag on him. Yes. How did that come about? I think the Patriots are one of the only teams to use that in recent years when you were there. How did that come about, and have you talked to Marcus since you guys put the tag on him?
Without going into what we talked about, yes, I have spoken with Marcus. Look, I have a lot of respect for him as a player. He's a great person. He's a hard worker. but he's a productive player. So we have a lot of respect for him, and he's definitely somebody that we've spoke to, you know, in terms of, you know, possibility of adding to the roster. We placed a tag on him. That's something that's allotted us through the league rules. And we thought it was a situation when it came up and was available for us. That's something that we could use. But, you know, we have an interest in Marcus. We've talked to him, and we're going through the procedure right now, and we're going to let it kind of play out a little bit and see where everything shakes out.
Are you preparing your players to play in front of an empty stadium, in front of no fans? And if you have to do that, how do you prepare guys to do that, have the same energy, et cetera? Also, just curious from your perspective, what do you think the NFL should do? You know, do you think it's more important that we wait and start a season later so that everything can be normal? Or as a coach, is it just you wait and you wait for the ready, set, go or not? I'm, you know, curious what you feel.
I mean, as far as our approach, the league will make those decisions. I think the one thing the league's, you know, being very considerate about right now is everybody's safety, players, fans, everybody. I don't think anyone wants to play in front of empty stadiums. The fans are really, you know, a huge part of this game. You know, playing in front of stadiums, that's where a lot of, you know, the juice and energy comes to on a weekly basis. But we don't have fans at practice, so we prepare them every day to play in front of, you know, without people watching. You know, if these guys have to go out, they'll be prepared for whatever the situation is. You know, but truly, we want the fans there. I mean, it would be a different atmosphere. You know, we prepare for whatever, but the fans are a huge part of this game, and we definitely want them there.
My biggest takeaway from Judge's remarks, Giants fans, is that we really need to prepare ourselves to see the Giants move their training camp out of East Rutherford, New Jersey, to a hopefully safer location, you know, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It's apparent that the New York, New Jersey area is still the hardest hit by the pandemic. So seeing the Giants move training camp to a different location should come as no surprise if and when that happens. Let's take a quick break right now for a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we will hear from quarterback Daniel Jones as he talks about the upcoming season and some of his preparation as he gets ready for that.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Just some basic questions. Where are you and how are you throwing?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm staying at my parents' house with my three siblings. So we're all hanging out here, packed in. I'm throwing with a small group of guys, trying to social distance and do our best to do that. But at the same time, keeping my arm in shape, staying in shape, trying to stay on top of all that. But down here in Charlotte, it's, you know, we're obviously doing our best to social distance, but in terms of using parks or using space outside, we're still permitted to do that. So, I've been throwing with a couple guys.
What are you working on in particular this offseason from a techniques fundamental standpoint? When you looked at the film of last year, what did you pinpoint as areas where you needed to get better, and how are you kind of attacking that specifically this offseason?
To me, I think the biggest thing is ball security and particularly in the pocket, protecting the ball. I think that's a fundamental skill at the quarterback position. That's something that's, crucial, but also to me, a fairly simple fix, in that it's a mindfulness, a certain, being intentional to securing the ball, to having two hands on it, to when you're moving, when you're having to adjust in the pocket, you're maintaining that security. So I'm just trying to emphasize that, doing different drills, and making sure that I'm, always cognizant of that and being very intentional in that.
All right, just a quick follow-up. Are you having guys try to swat the ball out of your hand? How do you kind of simulate that in a practice, in a park type setting?
Yeah. So I've been working with a quarterback coach here, he's someone who helps me with that. And we've talked about it a lot, and he'll make sure I'm staying on top of that while, like you said, swatting at the ball and doing, trying to simulate things that will happen in the game.
Two questions, along the same lines. As a young quarterback, how much do you think an unorthodox offseason like this can impact your development? And then my second question is, what was your opinion of Joe Judge for the first couple of months he was hired, not throwing his weight behind you as a franchise quarterback and just kind of saying everyone has to compete for each job?
I think, this offseason is obviously different for everyone, including me, being a guy who's trying to learn football, who's trying to, make a step in my second year playing, playing in the NFL. But everyone's dealing with these circumstances. Everyone's having to adjust, and, I'm no different from that. There's not going to be no one's going to be giving breaks to people who are working remote, because everyone's, working remote and having to do it. So, I understand that. I don't think it'll be a disadvantage if, we approach it like we have, if we approach it like the opportunity it is to use the time as well as we possibly can. And then the question, Coach Judge. I think Coach Judge has a policy on that. He's got a way he's gonna approach those situations, and I respect that. I respect his his emphasis on everyone earning their roles, and I certainly wouldn't want it to be any other way. I want to earn my role as anyone else does theirs.
Do you go into this season saying this is my team, and part two, what kind of leader will you be?
I think, going into this year, like I said earlier, I certainly, feel the responsibility of being a leader. I think that's something, I take seriously, but, it's our team. I don't know if it's one guy's team. It's not, it's not coach's team. It's not my team. It's not, Saquon's team or anyone else's. I think it's our team. And I, understand that. I think, leadership wise, I'm going to do my best to first, take care of what I'm doing, take care of my responsibility, be prepared and playing at a high level. And then I think, certainly that, hopefully that, rubs off on guys, and trying to do my best to bring guys, trying to, help guys and work with guys, as best I can. But, I think at this point, what we're doing right now, we need to, stay on top of our information, make sure we're doing our best to be prepared when we can get back up to New Jersey.
Has it been different without Eli being in there also?
It's been different because we're on the computer, but Eli not being there is different. The team is a little different, but we're adjusting making it work, making the best of it. So it's been good.
You just talked about Eli. Last week he was on the radio and he said that he thought things were going to be a lot easier for you this year with him gone, and that it was probably a bit awkward for you to take over the team with the guy you were replacing still being on the roster. When you look back, was it awkward at all? And do you think he's right that it probably should be a little easier for you now that Eli's gone?
You know, I think looking back, you know, there was definitely, you know, probably a little bit awkward at times, certain times. But, you know, I think we did a good job working together. I know I enjoyed working with him and, you know, certainly learned a ton from him and you know, appreciate everything he did during that year. But, you know, I don't know. I think, it, you know, it'll certainly be different, like we're saying. You know, different in the room, but you know, I really enjoyed working with Eli last year. I thought it was a huge advantage for me to be able to learn from him and talk to him, you know, every day. So it'll be different. It'll be an adjustment, but you know, we're looking forward to this year, to this team we have.
All right, Giants fans. As our last clip will be star running back Saquon Barkley. The most noteworthy piece of information that Barkley discussed was probably the mega contract signed this offseason by Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey. Barkley, of course, is likely to be the next NFL running back up for a mega contract. So his thoughts on the McCaffrey deal are obviously worth paying attention to.
Have you ever, I would imagine you've never played in an empty stadium before. How will you prepare yourself for the eventuality of playing football, possibly with no live fans or with half-built stadiums? Of course, you know, any big play you make is accompanied by a swell of energy, and you probably wouldn't have that. From a player's perspective, how would you handle that in a game?
It would definitely be different. You know, from playing from NFL and playing in front of our amazing fans with the Giants, and then obviously in college at Penn State, which is an amazing place and amazing fans there too. But at the end of the day, you know, kind of go down to just playing ball. Kind of when you're a kid, when no one was watching, backyard, or like, for instance, when we had practice, I know some practices we used to have fans there and have the media there, but most of the time, no one's there. It's just us going at it and getting better every single day. So I guess that's kind of the same approach I would take if that was the case.
You like to work out and make sure you're in the best shape possible. How is that possible now? What kind of adjustments are you making? Where are you working out? How are you staying shape and in fit and, you know, being ready for once you get on the field? You know, it's all new to everybody here.
Yeah, definitely all new to everyone. I'm very fortunate enough to, you know, have my own little facility, gym setup, I guess you could say. Kind of always wanted to get my own little gym, and then this kind of just happened. So kind of just, I guess you could say, playing out perfectly for me. So I'm really not missing the beat. Kind of got everything that I kind of need. You know, obviously it's just different not being there with, you know, your teammates, and that's the stuff that you miss the most and being there with your coaches. But just trying to tackle it as best as I can, and trying to keep my body in tip-top shape for when the opportunity does come, more than ready.
And I'm curious, they've really committed to the offensive line, especially through the draft. They, you know, took Andrew Thomas in the first round and Lemieux and Pert. As a running back, how can that really help you when they've made that kind of commitment to the guys in front of you, open up the running lanes?
Yeah, obviously, as a running back, you see offensive linemen getting drafted, you get excited. But it wasn't just about that. You know, you trust the guys up front. You trust the guys up front in the office to make the right decisions, and you know to trust that they're going to bring the guys in here that whether position was offensive lineman, running back, tight end, and so on, that they're going to bring in guys that are ready to work and compete and try to get this team back to where we know that we can be. And so that's what I was just more excited about.
Saquon, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. I'm sure last month you saw Christian McCaffrey got the big contract extension, and almost everybody's follow story after that was, well, Saquon's going to be the next big one. I'm curious if your mind at all jumped to that, if you thought about what could be coming in a year or so, and just knowing that that kind of negotiation is down the road, do you feel that you still have something to prove?
Well, I always feel like I have something to prove. That's always been my mindset. Always going to try to, you know, be the best player and person that I can be, not only for myself, but for my team. But, yes, when Christian, you know, signed that that big contract, the first thing that came to my mind was I'm happy for him. I know Christian personally, and you know, talking to him throughout the season, throughout the years, whether it's off season or through the season, and I worked out with him one time, and you could just see his work ethic and you know how attention to detail he is. So it was more happy for him, and you know he deserves it. But for me, you know, I'm a big believer in taking care of the little things first, and that's right now coming into the meetings and try to be the best leader, the best player that I can from obviously in this, I don't know how size of a box you would call it, and I feel like if you take care of that, all things take care of the rest for yourself in the future.
You know, the flip side of that was Todd Gurley was cut. You know, the Rams got rid of him really quickly. Was that shocking to you, and is that a reminder of how quickly things can go away in the NFL?
Yeah, definitely shocking. You know, I know TJ pretty well. Obviously, you know, it sucks that he had to leave the Rams, but he gets a fresh new start, and hopefully he can remind the league how dominant a player he is. And I don't need, you know, Todd Gurley getting traded or cut. I forget how it happened to remind me how the NFL is. That's just NFL. That's a business. And that's why you got to try to take advantage of every single day you can.
And that's our show for today, Giants fans. We thank you, as always, for listening. Please remember, join Big Blue View if you haven't done so already so that you can comment with other Giants fans and discuss your views of how things are unfolding. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check out our Instagram page at big_blue_view. Check us out on Facebook. Follow Twitter at Big Blue View. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.